Thank you, Brother Calvin. Who then is willing? This consecration piece, I was just kind of thrilled and touched as you shared those verses. I thank you for that. Those, I guess I didn't realize when the committee put those verses or put that reference in place where you would go with that, and I was inspired by that. All right, Brother Milford, from vision to reality, in reference to our schools, I consider myself a young man, and I couldn't help but do this as I was sitting there thinking about you, Brother Milford. You know, I believe I may have known you for approximately 30 years now, and you're one of those men that hasn't aged in all the years I've known you. You just haven't got any older. I know I've gotten 30 years older, but you haven't. I am blessed that you're able to share with us this evening, because you also are one of those men of the generation who can think back to kind of the vision of the school and the reality of what we have today, the journey of that brought us. You've watched this. You've watched us today. And it is important that we look back and reminisce and kind of anchor back to the vision. I think you have some things to share with us this evening. The words you gave when I asked you for a paragraph was, "Where there is no vision, the people perish," from Proverbs 29:18. I'm going to give you the time after you're finished. I will come back up, but let's give him our attention.
Good evening, everyone. I wasn't here for the whole day, so I didn't get the benefit of some of the previous topics that were shared today. But the assignment that was given to me was about visions, from vision to reality. And Brother Philip already read that verse from Proverbs, where it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." When I was given this assignment, my mind went to that verse. When there is no vision, what does that mean? What is a vision? It can mean a number of things. Sometimes we think of visions as revelations from heaven. And sometimes visions are that, although in our day, probably not so much. But a vision, perhaps, is more foresight or perception of the future. In this context, I would like to use it that way, that when it comes to the Christian school movement, there were people who had a vision. They had a vision about Christian schools and the possibility of establishing them, or it would have never happened. The Proverbs verse says that if there is no vision, then the people will perish. We could say, we could transliterate that and say, if there wouldn't have been a vision 52 years ago or more, the conservative Mennonite churches maybe wouldn't exist today. A good many of them would no longer exist. But because there was a vision, and because young parents were very much concerned about the type of education that their children will be getting. I know for my wife and I, our first child was going to go to school in the fall of 1970. But already the year before, our burden was that our children don't have to go to public school, but there was no other choice. In the beginning of 1970, I guess I had more or less resigned myself to the fact that our first child will probably have to go to a public school for a year or two before there's something better available. My wife was not very happy with that. She was ready to move mountains, if need be, to try to get our children to a Christian school from day one. There were men, we were part of the Heidelberg congregation at that time. There were men who had vision of Christian schools, of which there were very few. 1970, there were very few. A few years before, there were hardly any. I think Pathway School started in 1956. I only found that out a few days ago. I didn't realize that the Amish school in Aylmer was going that length of time. Then Cedar Grove maybe started in 1966. I stand correction with any of these dates, but as I got them, the Cornerstone School started in 1969, Pathfinder started 1970, and Milverton, I think, started 1972. But be that as it may, in the spring, winter of 1970, Heidelberg congregation decided to appoint a school board to explore the possibilities of a Christian school. If I remember, there were five men appointed for that school board. I don't quite remember who they all were, but I was, I think, the youngest, about 28 years old at the time. I was quite a greenhorn. I didn't know much about schools, and certainly not Christian schools, although in Pennsylvania and Ohio and a few places, they did have parochial schools that I was a little bit familiar with. I remember a number of different members' meetings that we had at Heidelberg to move forward this idea, this vision, if you will, of Christian schools. And I remember one particular meeting where the matter was being discussed, and there were one or two brethren who spoke up and were not very supportive of the idea. And one of them said, "Brethren, we just can't afford a Christian school." He was looking at the cost involved. Up until that time, our children would have been going to state school, and state taxes paid the bill. So this one brother spoke up rather forcefully with brethren. He said, "We just can't afford this. It costs too much money." Silence in the room for a while. And then an older brother spoke up. And he said, "Brethren, we can't afford not to have a school. We can't afford not to have a Christian school." Now, which one had the vision? Not too difficult to tell, is it? The one had a vision, and he was willing to pay for it. In fact, he was a brother that didn't have children in school anymore. But he said, "I want you, brethren." And the Lord blessed the work. It came together, and first day of school, parents brought their children to the school, and school got started, and we had a Christian school at the Heidelberg congregation. Now, as I said, there were a few schools that had started earlier by a few years, and they had a little experience, and that helped some of our staff and board members to draw on their experiences and to learn. It has been a learning experience for sure, starting out with a vision, starting out with maybe nothing more than a vision, but that was enough. Without the vision, it would not have got off the ground. But because some brethren and sisters had a vision, the school got started. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8 says this: "Better is the end of a matter than the beginning." The beginning of the Christian school movement was probably a little bit weak, a little bit tottery, and a little bit haphazard in some ways, because most people didn't have any experience with it. And they didn't know about curriculum. There was very little of that available. But they had faith that those things could be corrected with time. And it was around that time when Rod and staff started producing the Bible Nurture and Reader series of textbooks, and another textbook, another subject, and another one, and another one. And time went on. Those curriculum were developed, and the schools, all of our schools, have profited from that. That any books that had been from old state schools were eventually phased out as Christian books became available. So we see that where no vision is, the people perish. And that could be applied in so many areas of life, but it certainly applies in the area of Christian education for our families, our children. What would have happened to the church if there had not been a Christian school? What if it would have been like it is yet in Germany, where the government does not allow private schools? All the Christian families that I know in Germany have had to send their children to public schools, state schools, or leave the country, and many of them did. Many of them have moved to Manitoba simply because those young families also had a vision. They had a vision of their children growing up and being schooled in schools that are Christian and not secular and ungodly like state schools are now. Back in 1962, August of 1962, a very well-known man made a very well-known speech in Washington, and one statement that he made 10 or 12 times in that speech was, "I have a dream." Anybody know who that was? Right. In that speech, he did that 10 or 12 times. "I have a dream." I just recently read or listened to that speech. It's about a 40-minute speech. And he was a promoter of civil rights. We probably wouldn't have agreed with some of their methods, although he promoted passive resistance, nonviolent resistance. But he never lived to see the fruit of that. But equality for his people was his vision, his dream. And he was the rallying point or focus of that movement, with all its shortcomings and failures. The black people did get equality eventually, but that was a long and hard road for them to travel. But nothing would have ever happened if they wouldn't have had a dream. So in church work and school work, we believe that the end of a matter is better than the beginning. I believe there's probably room for improvement in the functioning of our schools. They're not perfect, but they're a lot better than they were in 1970. We have a lot more curriculum that is very, very good compared to what we had in 1970. But there is still room for improvement. I'm sure teachers can see in their teaching experiences that there are things that could be changed for the better. And as time goes on, some of those things are going to get changed for the better. That is why we need to continue to have a vision. A vision that our schools are going to contribute strongly to our church life. The future of our churches depends a good deal upon the work of Christian schools today. And as board members and teachers have a vision for better schools, better curriculum, and better teaching strategies, perhaps, that's why a day like today has been organized to get teachers and board members and administrators together and to discuss things relating to school and curriculum and how to make our schools better. That is a vision we need to maintain, or if we lose that vision, eventually our schools will deteriorate and become like many other nominal Christian schools or colleges today that no longer even teach the Bible, although they had started out good in their earlier days. So maintaining the vision and seeing it through to reality is our calling. As church members, we are all called to put our shoulder to that wheel. May God bless you in that.
Thank you so much, Milford, for those thoughts. I had to wonder, as you were talking, would I have the vision? Would I have the dream? And would my dream be able to repeat 1956 to 1972? If we didn't have the schools that we have today, would I have the vision? Would it be within me to repeat that era? That's what I was asking myself as you were speaking. It's sobering to think. You know, we're in maintenance mode, many of us are, and it does us well to just hear those stories. You know, Pathfinder, 1970. I'm on the board there, you know, to hear the startup vision. We have no excuse. When we think of the curriculum that we have today, we have no excuse. The tools, the tool set we have no excuse. God bless you for sharing that, and God bless you all for coming. We're going to bring this to a close. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your attendance. We're going to rise, and Brother Rob, would you lead us in a closing prayer as we stand? Let's rise.